You are now listening to Vaulting the Vault, a direct-to-sequel podcast.
So I don't know if you saw my star rating.
I did. 2?
Yeah, it was 2.
Tour. Okay, that's fair.
It was lower than King of Thieves.
Yeah, well, King of Thieves was fun.
Yeah.
This one, we'll talk about it.
I noticed you did something. You gave it 3, and then you went back and you changed it.
I changed my mind. I don't know. In between watching it and thinking about it, I was thinking how I gave some other movies 3 stars, and I felt bad giving. I was like, is this Winnie the Pooh sequel, direct-to-video sequel, really like on the same level as some other 3 stars I've done?
See, I do that a lot, and I try not to because I know I can't do that. Because like the old way I used to do it was like in my head, I think I rated Lord of the Rings like 4 or 4.5. So in my head, every time I was like, is this movie the equivalent of Lord of the Rings? And I'm like, no, what the fuck? Nothing is like Lord of the Rings.
That really explains your curve.
Yeah, and like, and I don't even love Lord of the Rings. It's just nothing's gonna be like that. So,
well,
I rated it, except Aquaman.
Aquaman is a 5-star movie.
Aquaman is the new generation's Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Finally did it.
Some of the returning cast, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The Brian King.
Remember when I fucked up Brian King?
Everyone screamed at me.
I said, yeah, what did I say?
Brian or something? It was like a BR word, but not Brian.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know sea life.
Come on. Well, yeah. Desert boy.
Hey, okay. I've seen the ocean a few times in my life.
At least you've got that going for you. Okay.
When I was a kid, I used to tell people, I've never seen snow before. And they're always like, Sam, what the fuck? They were like, what? They're like, are you like deprived? I was like,
That's a common thing with desert people, even though we're surrounded by mountains that have snow on them.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think a lot of times adults don't like fantasize about snow as much as kids, so they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, when you're older, it loses a lot of appeal. I have to say.
and especially because I
mean no school and playing all day.
And I've lived in snow, and it does lose the appeal when you're constantly slipping and you feel like you're gonna break your neck.
Once you have to be like a normal person with snow in the equation, the approval rating plummets, basically.
Still beautiful, though.
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah.
So is a desert, though. Nature's beautiful, man.
Nature is pretty beautiful.
And speaking of nature, Pooh's Grand Adventure, Search for Christopher Robin. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was good. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Nature in it.
There's nature. This is the movie where Pooh and friends have to brave nature, one would say.
Yeah.
Huh? This is the first time they've ever been put through a plot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing with Pooh. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should get into this now. Mm-hmm. No, probably not.
So introducing the podcast time. Welcome to Vaulting the Vault, a direct-to-sequel podcast. I'm Katie, and know a little bit more.
I'm Sam, and I know nothing.
We're here in a very serious podcast to discuss these great and many varied direct-to-video sequels to classic Disney movies. This week, we are taking a look at Pooh's Grand Adventure. Search for Christopher Robin from 1997. It's 97, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sequel, kind of?
Yeah, kind of.
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh from 1977.
Yeah, we're kind of doing this because there's a lot of Poohs that were direct-to-video, so we just picked...
Disney made a lot of Pooh.
Disney's known for their poo.
Which is what this podcast is, really.
Yeah. You could say this. People are saying this.
Uh-huh.
Should I set the table? I feel like mm-hmm. I have to say this at the start.
Yeah, set the table.
Before we eat this poo. Why I gave this 2 stars and why in general I think I don't like Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
I try so hard. I want to mm-hmm. like Winnie the Pooh so much because it seems like something I love. It's like kids' movies that are like kind of sad, and that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
They're always like kind of sad.
Yeah.
I think it's because they're kind of British.
Yeah, I think that's the British factor.
Because like I like the movie Christopher Robin. I liked mm-hmm. that because it's kind of sad. Like, I liked this for the most part, but I don't know. I think in general, like you were saying, they don't usually have a plot. It's just kind of like, oh, we're like going around and we do a couple things. Pooh gets stuck in a jar.
Yeah, it's Winnie the Pooh is really based on a lot of like childlike whimsy.
Yeah, and I think part of it might be like, even though I was the right age for it, I don't think I really watched Winnie the Pooh. Like, I have friends
like,
who...
You didn't grow up with Pooh.
I have friends who love Pooh. They mm-hmm. just, they can't get enough of Pooh. They're eating it up. They're eating Disney's Pooh uh-huh. all up.
Oh boy. Yeah. I'm the opposite. Like, I think I had, I don't know, in the 90s, they sold like the stuffed animals that kind of, they didn't look like they look in the movie. Like, they looked like the original stuffed animals, you know, that Christopher Robin right. himself had. I was Piglet for my first Halloween.
Aww.
Uh-huh. So I was spoon-fed Pooh from a young age.
I can't remember my first Halloween. I know an early Halloween of mine, I made a robot costume out of cardboard. So that tells you the difference there. I was not being cute. I was being a little nerd.
I wasn't allowed to be a nerd until I was Wonder Woman in 2010. But anyways, nice. Yeah. So yeah, Pooh. I mean, Pooh is like a childhood classic. A lot of people grow up with Pooh. Yeah. It was a childhood classic before Disney got its hands on it. And I think, so like we said last week, this is the only Winnie the Pooh movie we're planning on covering, unless we should make it to Halloween. And then we will, you know, there's a little Pooh Halloween movie there. So we'll cover that. There have been a crap ton of direct-to-video Pooh sequels. In fact, a few have been theatrical too. So this was the first one, but after that you had Seasons of Giving, which was a Christmas holiday themed Pooh one. The Tigger movie, which was theatrical. A Very Merry Pooh Year, which was...
They really trying to stretch the Pooh.
Well, I think that's kind of the thing. The nature of Winnie the Pooh is that you can create so many stories and make right. $1 billion. Like, I think I read in 2005 that, or somewhere around then, that Winnie the Pooh was the most profitable Disney character after Mickey Mouse.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, because
yeah.
especially for people who are more on the younger end, they wouldn't know like Pooh before it was a Disney thing. Like, they know Pooh as a Disney character pretty
much. And
they
want more Disney Pooh, yeah. So and then there was Piglet's big movie, which was also theatrical. Springtime with Roo. Pooh's Heffalump movie, which I don't remember if it was theatrical. It may have been theatrical. And Pooh's Heffalump Halloween movie. yeah, spooky. And I don't think there's been any more Pooh movies on this side, but there's been several Pooh TV shows. You know, he's a mainstay in the parks.
Yeah. He's a cute bear. I love how cute he is. I love when he says...
He's a very silly bear.
I love when he says, oh, bother.
Oh, bother.
I don't know why I don't like him more. It's so weird to me that I don't like him more.
I think a big appeal, especially for, like, looking back on it, is, like, just the childlike innocence. And I can imagine for a lot of people, they maybe conflate the childlike innocence it kind of puts off as also... you know, equating that with their own childhood, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think there is some nostalgia factor for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I liked the new one, because it was like I had my boy Ian McGregor to pull me through it because I didn't have nostalgia, but I had love for him.
And a lot of people, I haven't seen Christopher Robin. That's one of the few Pooh things I haven't seen. But I know a lot of people, at least when the first trailer came out, and I think even afterwards, people were kind of like, well, this is weird and creepy. This isn't the Winnie the Pooh I know, which I feel like wasn't the point, but, you know?
Yeah.
So Pooh is a big franchise for Disney, so it makes sense that they turn to Pooh for the direct-to-TV sequels in the night, or sorry, not direct-to-TV, direct-to-video sequels in the 90s.
Right, and we're kind of covering this one because it's the most like an actual sequel still. Like,
yes.
Most yes, of the other ones kind of are just like Pooh on an adventure, which this one is too, but it still kind of bears the same name as that 70s film you mentioned. What was it again?
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. And this has like an interesting relationship with some of the things mentioned in or discussed in that movie. Which,
yeah.
Did you rewatch? Have you seen many adventures, Sam?
Have I? Shoot.
The one with the Heffalumps and Woozle song. Pooh gets stuck in Rabbit's house.
I think this sounds familiar. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I've probably seen it, but I don't know if I remember.
That's fine. I mean, it, again, like we said before, it's not very plot heavy, right? Like it's very, vignette-y kind of like, Pooh's doing this and then it moves on. It's actually technically, well, it's kind of a package film, right? So they made these three separate Pooh shorts and then in the 70s we're like, well, we need a movie. What if we just stitch these together with a bit of more animation and call it a day?
Right.
It works. It worked really well. It's a good movie, I think. I rewatched it. I think it's, I can, watching it again, I thought of Totoro in that kind of childlike but should I get into why this is kind of like a sequel to that in a way?
Yeah.
And I think like the 2011 movie, which I don't think is, it's not a sequel, is kind of, it, you could almost stitch the 2011 movie onto the end of Many Adventures and it would kind of come off as maybe just one long movie. But I think this is kind of, at the end of Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, it closes by, and I should say also, Many Adventures and the 2011 Winnie the Pooh both have this like delightful meta narrative kind of thing going on with the narrator where he is affecting the story and the characters know they're in a book and they say like, you can like, you know, he was stuck in this hole from page 120 to 130. Or they kind of like run through the pages, or they run on the words. So there's kind of like this fun, which isn't here in this movie, which is disappointing.
Yeah, they don't really, I think the most meta this gets is once in a while, Rabbit looks at the audience.
Yeah, I noted that. He has a few like Jim from The Office moments where Pooh does something and Rabbit just cannot handle it. But so at the end of The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the narrator says, we've gotten to the end of the book. And, you know, the summer had passed and Christopher Robin had to go to school. And you get a couple of shots of all his friends kind of, and the narrator says like school where you learn where Brazil is and you learn your like timetables and stuff. And it has a few little pictures of Pooh and friends, you know, learning where Brazil is, looking at a globe and, you know, trying to figure out multiplication. And it's very sweet. And it also ends with Christopher Robin having a conversation with Pooh, telling him that he's going to school and that he won't be around as much. And he kind of has this moment where he's like, Pooh will be best friends forever, right? And Pooh's like, of course. And he says, and they kind of talk about their ages. And he's like, we'll be best friends till you're 100. And Pooh's like, how old will I be? And is any of this sounding familiar, Sam?
Yeah, this is exactly how Grand Adventures, The Search of Christopher Robin ends.
Well, it starts too, right? So basically, the Grand Adventure for Christopher Robin starts with the same conversation, but in a bizarro universe where Christopher Robin, kind of like Pooh and Christopher Robin switch places, where Pooh is the one saying like, of course we'll be friends forever and like nothing will ever, ever, ever change. And Christopher Robin doesn't manage to tell him that he's going to school because he's too afraid, which is what then starts the whole plot of the movie.
Maybe I should rewatch the 70s one because it sounds better.
I think you would give it like a 3. Definitely not a 2, I think, on your tastes. It's also just like better made. And this is kind of, I don't know, the animation. Well, also, I think this has been released on Blu-ray. So I think it it generally looks a lot better than the first two Aladdin sequels we've looked at so far.
Yes,
because this looks very good. It continues to be like profitable for Disney, and they don't want to ignore it, basically. Yes, but this is, I don't know, it's weird. We're going to talk about it right now. But yeah, so yeah. Basically it is a sequel in a way that it's, you know, okay, Christopher Robin goes to school. What happens to the friends at Poop Corner?
Yeah, and of course, because it's a weird cult run by Christopher Robin, they all freak out when their leader's gone. Uh-huh. They all don't know what to do with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And should we get into like the plot then?
Yeah, and I'll just say also, this is the first Pooh movie that Disney writes or makes that isn't based on one of A.A. Milne's own stories, right? The original author of Winnie the Pooh. There are some like ideas from his work here, but I mean, in so much that it's also an adaptation or like taking one of his characters or his characters. So Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh took ideas from the books, and I'm actually not sure about 2011, but this is Disney basically working with Pooh for the first time, like on their own. And I think that really shows, because you do like we've said a couple of times now, this movie is like a plot. It's very plotty compared to earlier Pooh movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I feel like that's another thing that younger people just wouldn't, they'd be like, oh, it's cute that Pooh has this storybook feel, but they did that because it was a famous children's book first. So they were trying to meld the two ideas. Like, that's interesting that the 2011 one even bothers to do that, because you'd think they'd just be like, I don't know, let's just do Pooh. Like, the young kids don't know anymore.
Yeah, and I think that was, like, a thing I noticed. I mean, I haven't watched this since I was a kid. And I think when I was a kid, my trademark, we'll get into this later. But I think when you're a kid, you're watching this, you're just having fun and it's Pooh and, you know, you're kind of along for the ride. But watching this as an adult and comparing it to the 1970s movie, you see like the differences and kind of like the lack of maybe like productional choices, or production choices that affect the final product and like, you know, what makes it a good movie versus like this. Yeah, this is fine for kids, but I don't know if it's like a quality movie, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
As a kid, you're not going to pick up on that, but as an adult, you definitely do.
Yeah.
You pick up what they're laying down big time.
So movie opens.
Mm-hmm.
We get pretty nice looking shots of some nature, and you get you get Pooh, you get Christopher Robin having a nice little day.
It's the last day of summer, as the narrator has told us,
and
Pooh says it's a great day for being Pooh.
he does this little intro. It's like, oh man, I'm in on it. I'm gonna get Poohed. I'm gonna love Pooh this time. I'm gonna finally do it. I'm gonna
He's
love
pretty
it.
Charming this opening.
Yeah. They sing a song.
Okay, yeah. So it's the last day of summer. Christopher Robin and Pooh are hanging out. Christopher Robin seems a little pensive. And this whole opening number is kind of baffling. Not baffling, it's just fucking weird, honestly.
Yeah.
Watching it now, it comes off like a breakup scene.
Yeah, that's what I was trying. I was trying to think of an equivalent breakup scene in popular culture, because that's what it feels like. It feels like Christopher Robin's just like can't quite tell Pooh, you know, like he's sitting on the info, and Pooh's just like, oh man, isn't it
Pooh's
great that we're together?
Yeah, he's like, we're gonna be together forever, and like life will be perfect forever. And Christopher Robin's like here stretching his collar, being like, oh, Pooh, I don't know about that.
Boy.
And Pooh literally is like running away from his problems, running away from Christopher Robin. And then, yeah, we get a song, Forever and Ever. And just a side note as well, this is the songs in this movie. Oh, boy.
They do not slap.
The songs from the original Winnie, not to compare everything to the original Winnie the Pooh, but I don't know, this is a sequel podcast, so maybe, but the songs in the original Winnie the Pooh are very, like, kind of like, they're songs that the characters sing to themselves. They're not, like, big, grand musical numbers, which this movie does do, which feels very out of place.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, something I noted, I think I have seen the 70s one the more I think about it, but I don't remember. Does Christopher Robin have, like, the button eyes in that?
Just, like, black eyes?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Okay. I'm trying to, does he, I think in the 2011 one, he doesn't. I think he has like.
No, he doesn't. So yeah, I also rewatched that one in preparation for this, and they gave him full on eyes, and it was kind of terrifying. I did not like it.
Yeah.
And I can understand why they may have, because I feel like kids these days wouldn't have liked the dark, like just kind of like simplistic little dots for eyes, but
yeah,
the full on eyes weren't working either. I did not like the Christopher Robin in the 2011 movie at all. I have to say.
One thing I noted about the intro is Pooh gets infinitely more charming the more you think about how tiny he is.
He's very small.
Uh-huh. He's so tiny.
Yeah. I also noted the scale. I was like, is he this small in the first movie? Because I didn't really like notice that in the first one. But yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's
a teddy bear. I mean, it makes sense. But
yeah,
when you see Christopher Robin hold him, it's adorable.
I just, for some reason in my head, and even when I saw the new Christopher Robin, like the live action one, I was like, why is he so tiny? Because in my head, there's so much Pooh merchandise where Pooh is like big enough where he can like hug a small child.
So yeah.
Like, in my head, he's like a bigger stuffed like animal.
Child-sized. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a tiny
child. Yeah. He's pint-sized. He's a little bear. He's a silly little bear.
He's a silly little bear, and he goes, "Oh bother."
Oh bother. But yeah, they sing this song called "Forever and Ever," which is basically Pooh saying, "We're going to be together forever and ever," and Christopher Robin saying, "No, no, no." And by the end of it, Christopher Robin has completely given up. Well, I guess he has a bit, judging from my notes, he is a bit. He's very mature for like a 5-year-old going to school. We can assume he's like a kindergartner, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, he's approaching the situation like he's dying. It's also, right, it shifts from like breakup to like dying. I think this movie is kind of a way for kids to learn to cope with death.
Yeah, I'd say so too. But I think it's also, it's just he's going to be gone a little bit more, but he'll still come around. Like, that's how it seems. But this intro makes it sound like, Pooh, I'm never coming back.
Yeah, it makes, I'm like, is he going to boarding school or something? It's very dramatic.
That's what I thought.
God, it feels like the end of Toy Story 3 in a way. Like, just like saying goodbye to your toys. But he's 5.
Yeah.
We can assume if he's going to like kindergarten or something. I don't know. What's the British version of kindergarten? I actually don't know.
Kindergarten?
There we go. That's what it is. But yeah, it sounds like he's dying or going to boarding school and like never coming back. And then at the end, he just kind of doesn't, they sing the song and basically the day ends and the narrator notes that Christopher Robin didn't have the balls to tell Pooh.
Yep. And then Pooh wakes up the next day. There's some business with some leaves on his nose.
Oh, it's delight. That's, I like that. It's delightful.
It's very,
you know,
cute. He's a silly old bear.
Silly old bear. He's snoring the leaves. They're landing on his nose.
And then he finally gets up.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out and he finds a honey pot.
I have to say, the honey pots don't look so good this movie.
They don't. The honey looks weirdly like water. It looks like yellow water.
Yeah, you can tell what the animated honey just doesn't hold up to the original. Like, you can tell they're like obviously trying to keep it the same look, but it's just not, I don't know, the way the honey looks in the original movie is just so unique and they don't quite capture it here. And the honey pot's the same. Like, the honey pots don't look quite the same they do in the original and the 2011. But there's a note attached to the honey pot, but does he read it?
No, because it's honey and Pooh just wants that honey.
He just wants that honey. He's a bear.
And then he gets honey all over the note, still doesn't notice.
Nope.
Eat the honey? He just
I think he eats some of it and then realizes that, maybe somebody lost this honey.
Oh, bother.
Although it's been placed outside my door. So he goes off to look for whose honey this is. He says he likes doing nothing. We need to back up. There's a major thing we forgot.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Pooh mentions that, this is before Christopher Robin leaves. He still hasn't told Pooh about school yet, but he still knows he's leaving. So he tells Pooh that you're braver than you believe and stronger than you think and smarter than you think.
Yes.
Did I fuck that up? Is it stronger than you think?
You're braver than you believe, stronger than your Stronger
what
than
is
you...
the what is the yeah what's because smarter than you think, right? Because brains.
It says stronger than your seam, but that's wrong.
Oh, then you seem, right? Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Then you seem. Someone fucked up the wiki.
Oh geez. And that's a I think that's an A.A. Milne quote, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah. That's and it's kind of it's one of those quotes from Winnie the Pooh that people say. And they used it in this one, and it becomes a crutch of the plot.
Yeah, a big one. That's mm-hmm. kind of the only development anyone has.
They kind of based the entire structure of the movie on this one quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we needed to mention that because that becomes very important. But it's fall. He's looking for the honey. Who owns the honey? He runs into everyone except...
Kanga and Roo.
I'm pissed. Kanga and Roo are my like two favorite characters.
Yeah, I like Kanga and Roo.
They're not here.
Cool. They're just weirdly gone.
Just like no one's like, oh, Kanga and Roo are like hibernating. Like there's no explanation. Just not present.
Isn't Kanga like literally the only female character?
Uh-huh. So there's no woman in this movie. Although when I was a kid, I always thought Rabbit was a lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought she was like was like a spinster kind of, you know, character.
I could see that, yeah.
Because yeah, he kind of sounds like a lady sometimes.
People think that with Piglet, don't they? Don't some people think Piglet?
Yes, but I think when I was a kid, I was like, oh, but, you know, they say Piglet, his, you know, they use like the male pronouns more of Piglet. So I was like, oh, Piglet's a boy. But Rabbit was the confusing one for me. Anyways, but yeah, Kanga and Roo, not here, already loses a star.
Yeah.
Knock one off.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you. I'm dropping it down to one star.
No. No, if we start with 5 and we subtract from there.
Okay.
Right? We're down to 4. We'll see what else happens to bring this down to a 2 range.
So we run into each of them. Piglet's trying to conquer his fear of heights because... somehow he heard that Christopher Robin told him to do that or something.
Yeah, Piglet lives in a tree. We know this. And he is somehow, you know, Pooh's looking for him, and he is somehow at the top of the tree.
Right.
Because I guess piglets are very good climbers.
Yeah. Well, he says he's trying to conquer his fear of heights finally, and I was like, why today?
First day of fall, you know. But he gets to the top and realizes, oh, I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Pooh comes and Piglet's freaking out. He's like, oh, I wish Christopher Robin was here. And Pooh's like, oh no, you don't know where he is either. This is an issue.
Mm-hmm. Tigger comes by, bouncing as usual.
He's bouncing. And this did remind me, I like Tigger a lot.
Tigger's great.
I'm kind of a Tigger, I gotta say. I'm bouncing.
Get Tigger energy from you.
I'm always bouncing off the wall.
around. And have we met Rabbit at this? Have we encountered Rabbit at this point?
No, because Tigger's bouncing later. Trying to save Piglet. And
and this is more acorns, right?
Making the nuts fall.
It's fall now.
I won't say it. Anyway, he's bouncing up, trying to get Piglet. And finally, trying to get Piglet triggers like a nut wave.
Uh-huh.
And this wave of nuts carries them through all the way to Eeyore.
Well, we should say also that Tigger is trying to get Piglet by bouncing, but he just can't reach Piglet. And he only manages to catch him after Piglet's branch breaks, basically. And kind of catch each other in like a midair situation. But afterwards, and Tigger is upset with how his tail is performing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The nut wave carries them through... Well, it carries them through Rabbit's garden while he's trying to pull a carrot out.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do it by the books, because that's how you do things. Mm-hmm. You follow the instructions. You don't go by what you see. You go by what...
You don't trust your brain. You read your book.
Yeah, you trust books.
Written word.
It's a weird thing to believe, but okay,
we'll
Rabbit.
We'll get into that in a bit. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyways,
carries them through Rabbit. He gets sucked up into the nut wave, and then it carries them all the way to Eeyore. Mm-hmm. He's just built a house.
Mm-hmm. Like he does usually.
And the nut wave destroys his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he says something depressing.
As Eeyore is wont to do.
And at this point...
Rabbit realizes that there's a note attached to the honeypot.
Right.
And he attempts to read it, which, this part again... Right, there's honey on it, right? So
yeah,
they have struggled. They have an issue with this later. But the way Rabbit approaches reading this note suggests that he cannot read, which
yes.
calls into question his previous statement of having to do everything by the book.
Well, you know, he's a little full of himself. He wants to think he can do these things, but he can't.
True, that is Rabbit's MO. So they take it to Owl, who is apparently the only one who can read a bit in the 100 Acre Woods. He's a wise owl, or they think he is.
Yes. And when he starts reading it, he says something. He says, like, Christopher Robin gone, in need of, like, and like the
send
note,
help.
Yeah, yeah. He says something like that, and I was like, oh gosh, they're gonna think he was kidnapped.
Well, you're right.
Well, I don't. They don't seem to think he's because they're not talking about it like that. They're just talking about like, oh, we gotta find him. But they're not like, we gotta save him from his kidnappers. Like,
yeah, they never. I guess you're right. They never like explicitly say that. And then Owl, who is also want to overcomplicate things, says that, you know, you have to go save Christopher Robin from. Oh, right, and he's at Skull.
Yes,
and Christopher Robin, who has not been to school. Well, okay, actually, this is another thing. So throughout the original movies, and I think this as well, you can kind of see that Christopher Robin doesn't have the best handwriting. He doesn't really know how to spell things, you know, correctly, because he's a child. But he spells everything on this note correctly, including school. So it's not even like he spelt it wrong and they were like, oh no, it's skull. It's just that Owl can't read.
Yeah.
And with a combination of the honey. But yeah, Owl thinks he says he's at Skull. Owl, being the very wise owl he is, says that there's a skull rock they have to go to. And along the way, they may encounter a skull source, which seems to have entered the leagues with Heffalumps and Woozles and whatever they're called, jaguars. Because they, there's another name for them.
And Piglet. Piglet at this point asks Pooh, he's like, well, if Christopher Robin's gone, can I be your best friend? And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this hierarchy?
It's strange. You can have more than one best friend, Winnie.
Yeah, and then Winnie the Pooh's like, oh, of course you guys are my best friends. But no one, he says, only Christopher Robin and I can do nothing.
Yeah. Which is a callback to earlier in the movie from when they were doing nothing. Which is also a thing from the books, them doing nothing.
And then Owl sings a song.
Oh my god, oh geez, oh boy.
Hate this song?
Well, this is like the strangest song. This is like if Genie all of a sudden ripped through Winnie the Pooh and was like, hello, Pooh! It's a very like Genie song where everything, it's even like, I started to think like, is this like the most surreal maybe not surreal, but the most like kind of like out of context, I guess. Like it's very much of the tradition of Friend Like Me, where the person singing, which in this case is Owl, is kind of putting the characters through like strange situations and through like different colored backgrounds. Like it's not really clear they're in Owl's house, you know? And it's not surreal because the Heffalump and Woozle song from the first movie is, it gets pretty weird, but it maintains like the consistency of what you expect. And that's a dream also, like it you know, but like this is just like out of the blue. It's very strange. Yeah.
Rabbit song kind of does that too.
Yeah, it does. And it's like a thing, it's just like the musical tone of this movie doesn't match what you associate with Winnie the Pooh.
I would agree, and do you want to know what I think the reason is? I'm guessing the team behind this were thinking, well, it's for direct-to-video. I guess we got to make it pop, you know, to get kids to watch it. And that's the only reasoning I can see, because Pooh is more, like, naturalistic, I feel like.
It is, yeah. Like, in Winnie the Pooh, besides, like, Heffalumps and Woozles, which is, like, a big dream sequence, the only other songs are like his I'm Short and Fat and Proud of That song, which is him like singing to himself as he does exercises, and a few others. Even in the 2011 movie, the big kind of set piece is Honey, which is another dream sequence about honey, or like a hallucination thing. This is weird. I did not like this. I was like, oh no, we're in for something. There's like an Uncle Sam reference. Like at one point he's dressed as Uncle Sam and does the classic like I want you pose. Yeah. And there's fireworks and
it made me think of Sam the Eagle from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Because he's an owl.
Yeah, he's wearing a little Uncle Sam top hat. It's, But yeah, Owl sings this song. Oh, it's also called Adventure is a Wonderful Thing. And it's basically Owl drawing up this map and telling them where they need to go to find this goal. And Christopher Robin.
He's purposely saying, like, you guys a lot. And he's being like, I'm not going.
No, Owl does not come on the adventure. This movie is mostly the adventure. And it's Eeyore, Pooh, Tigger, and Piglet. And Rabbit. Yeah. No Owl.
Yes. Yeah, I don't. As a song, I liked it for the most part. Like, I'd say the actual song's like fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some worse songs, but I don't really remember how it goes, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't work with Pooh, you know.
Why I rated this below King of Thieves?
That's why.
Let's see. Oh, he brings up the fact that it's in the Eye of the Skull.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big point.
Yes.
That like you're gonna have to go into this eye of a skull, and I'm like, what does this mean? Are they gonna like find a Christopher Robin's dead body? Like what? Why do they keep talking about skulls?
Because it's a skull rock, right? They're like thinking like they have to go to a rock that's shaped like a skull, which is I don't know. The thing this does with kind of like them imagining what their journey is like and it being scarier than it is and then kind of reversing that, you know, is there's a lot of, I will admit, there's some good lessons for children here. You know, learning how to deal with loss in a way, over imagining things.
But like you're saying, doesn't the 70s one kind of do that? If at the end,
it does. And the 70s one, I think, teaches you life lessons in a very simplistic way that people have really latched onto. And it's a spirit that comes from the books as well. Have you ever heard about like the Tao of Pooh?
No.
So there are like several philosophy books based on Winnie the Pooh. The big one is the Tao of Pooh, which is comparing Pooh to different Taoist principles, basically. And I wrote this down. Pooh is like very much living the Taoist way in that he accepts life's experiences and he just is. And the characters like Rabbit and Owl overthink and complicate things to the point of confusion, which is very true in this as well. Or like Eeyore is too pessimistic and unable to be, right? And there's a sequel that's focused on Piglet especially. Someone else wrote a book comparing Pooh to different Western philosophers, such as like Kant and Descartes. And
okay,
there's a big market on the philosophy of Pooh, and in a way, it makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I think you can. I think philosophy is a very, if you look at it very broadly, can get tracked onto a lot of things.
The Pooh has been especially successful. Like, I've met several people who have had the Tao of Pooh as like textbooks.
Really?
Textbooks in their philosophy classes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted. I've never heard of this. I took a humanities class. We never talked about Pooh in that.
You need to read this for your classes, Sam, and bring it into your psych learnings.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think they'd laugh at me. No offense to people who like it. I'm sure it's a great way to break down these sort of concepts into a fun and engaging way.
Easy way to understand, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, this movie. Sorry, where were we? We were talking about the way they are, or.
Well, the next thing. Let's see here. The next thing is just them going on their adventure.
Start off, it's immediately scary. You see a flock of ravens that look just like Diablo from Sleeping Beauty in a very odd stylistic choice.
Yeah, they it didn't look like it fit at first, like them being in this weird super scary forest.
Yeah, it's like they're like going through like a bramble patch. It is the birds also brought it, okay, am I crazy or the only, right? So in the Hundred Acre Wood, right, you have bees and you have all like the characters, right? But you never see like other birds.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they didn't bring owl, because it'd be weird.
Be a weird thing. Yeah, so I there's like and the inclusion of the ravens, I was kind of like, is this like what, where are there other animals in the Hundred Acre Wood, and what's like their sentient status?
Yeah, it's usually like insects, I feel like.
Yeah, there's like there's insects and like the characters, right? Like that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm overthinking things. I see, I'm being rabbit. I'm a very big rabbit, as much as I hate to admit
I think if
it.
I rewatch the original, I might agree with that. Rabbit in this movie, I'm not like at all.
No. I don't. I mean, it's not a great. I don't want to be a rabbit.
Yeah.
But
I feel like you'd trust your own eyes a little more than he
oh,
does.
yeah, rabbit. I mean, I rabbit in like the original movies, maybe not rabbit in this movie. Although he's
Yeah.
pretty similar. But like the whole his we'll get it's coming up soon. His song brings up like some epistemological questions, which
Yeah.
are me.
Yeah.
It's a kids' movie. See again, Winnie the Pooh and philosophy. But yeah, they're
Hand in
going through.
hand.
It's all very scary. There's some like Venus flytraps trying to eat them. They eventually find their way into this like beautiful meadow.
And Piglet gets there first. He meets a butterfly.
They're friends.
The butterflies are being nice, and then they start all getting onto him. Everyone's like, "Oh, look, Piglet, you're so popular." And then the butterflies start to fly away with
With
Piglet.
Piglet because he is a small pig.
Which is
Piglet, as
interesting.
we remember, is afraid of heights.
Yes. He's very afraid of heights, so he's covering his eyes. He's like, I don't know what to do, guys, help me. I'm kind of a piglet, too,
Yeah,
I'll say.
you're like a Tigger Piglet, a Tiglet. Can see
because
that.
I'd be terrified. I hate heights.
There we go. And this is the point in the movie that I started to realize that like the movie was kind of laying out like all different things the characters had to work on. So, you know, Piglet's afraid of
Yeah.
heights. Winnie the Pooh also cannot remember. So throughout this movie, Winnie is saying like, you know, Christopher Robin always says, and he's trying to say that you're braver than you
He's trying to say you're braver than you believe, stronger
believe.
than you
Yeah.
seem, and smarter than you think, but he
He's
keeps
always
messing it
fucking it
up.
up. Yeah, he keeps messing it up big time. And so when he tries to dispense the wisdom, the characters go like, "What? What are you talking about?" And this is, you know, Piglet is the braver, Tigger, who is having tail issues, is the stronger, and Rabbit is the smarter.
Eeyore is not really.
Eeyore doesn't get anything. He's just there to
Yeah.
say bad things. I was in my notes. I have like Pooh. I have like Piglet heights, Rabbit thinking, Tigger tail, and then Eeyore. Question mark?
Yeah,
They don't bother you, yeah.
he's just chilling, saying depressing things.
Typical
It's like
Eeyore. I guess he's like the comic relief in a way.
my classic thing where I think I've said this 3 or 4 times to you, where when I watch a movie with people that has a dog in it and the movie's older than 10 years,
Oh no, Sam.
I always tell the person, I look at him, I give him a, you know, I give him a nudge, I give him a little elbow nudge, and I go, "Hey, see that dog? The dog is dead."
Oh, say.
This is why people don't like watching movies with me.
I don't blame him. No more Marley and Me for you. The dog dies twice. Oh, spoiler alert for the 2009 movie, Marley and Me.
Oh, that dog's dead.
Oh no. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we've determined that Sam is an Eeyore and a Tiglet.
So pretty much right after Piglet gets kind of picked up by all of them, he gets down. I forget how.
I think Tigger tries to save him or saves him, and again his tail is like not working very well and he's kind of mad.
Yeah, Piglet kind of falls and ca he catches him again, I think.
Yeah.
And then the next part is Rabbit following the map.
Yeah, so they kind of like get to a crossroads in a way, and they're looking at these mountains, and Pooh goes, "Hey, those are the mountains that, you know, those look like the mountains we need to go to." But Rabbit, who is carrying the map, actually, no, Rabbit doesn't have the map yet. Rabbit says, that's not what the map says. Let me look at it. Actually, the map says to go this way.
Yes.
And
Rabbit kind of becomes the leader.
Yeah, but I don't know about that. You know, like, those look like the mountains we should... I think they're called, like, the Terrifying Mountains or something. And he's like, those mountains look pretty terrifying to me.
And they are. I have to agree.
Yeah, I mean, this... Rewatching this also, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember why I found this terrifying as a child. Like, this is scary for children. And that
you found this terrifying?
Well, not terrifying, but, like, scary. Like, I remember watching this as a kid and being, like, concerned for their well-being and, like, maybe a bit, like, yeah, you know, on the edge of my seat, like, what's going to happen to Pooh and friends?
Their Pooh stuff never puts them through such a rigorous
No. It's always Pooh getting stuck. And it's not Pooh, you know, crossing chasms, which happens shortly.
This is like Pooh's seventh seal. It's him facing death in a chess match.
Yeah, who's death in the Hundred Acre Wood? Maybe it's Kanga. Maybe that's why she's not here. She's life and death, the mother and the death figure. And Christopher Robin is the uncaring god. Okay.
Just like Toy Story. Andy is uncaring god.
This kind of gets into like Toy Story 3 territories. I made that note.
Yeah, I definitely thought kind of about Toy. Like, I was thinking in my head, I was like, I wonder if Winnie the Pooh kind of inspired them back when they made the first one. Just like the idea kind of, because these are his toys coming to life.
Yeah, it's like a toy, you know, the childlike imagination. I think it's maybe more clear in Winnie the Pooh that the Hundred Acre Wood is a place that Christopher Robin visits in his imagination.
Yeah.
As opposed to the toys literally being alive, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Rabbit takes the map and says, no, Pooh, you silly bear. You don't trust your brain. You have to trust the written word. Only trust the written word. That's it. No speaking. Don't trust your guts. Don't trust your brain. Don't trust your eyes. Only
he sings a song word. About this.
I found this very relatable.
Really?
Well, in the sense that, so in... I'm about to get real nerdy here. In historiography, there's kind of like a big, especially like basically in the 60s when historians started to be like, hey, lighten up, maybe we should focus on history different from the dead white guys. There was a question about sources, you know, so like what sources can you believe? Can you trust oral histories? Can you trust primary sources that aren't the written word? And this is kind of Rabbit having his like, old white historian moment, old man historian moment of being like, you can only trust the written word.
Interesting.
So that's why.
That's very interesting.
And he brings up, you know, this big epistemological question that, see, it's Winnie the Pooh.
Is that still debated? I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I there are a few like older historians who question the point of looking at sources that are not. And people still debate about oral history and whether you can, you know, they like people's experiences that they recount to you are.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's still a question. I think it's gotten a bit less contentious in the past few decades, but it's still.
I know nothing about history or the study of history, so to me, I'm just like, they just look at the past and they like understand it.
No, it gets complicated. There's a lot of fighting through like journals and different journal articles.
Yeah, every journal article opens with, all right, that guy's a piece of shit. Like, he doesn't know history.
Sometimes it comes up like that. You read a sentence and you go, oh shit, he just mic dropped basically.
That's amazing. You're
very testy. Yeah, anyways, the song is called If It Says So. It's basically Rabbit being like, read the map only. This is kind of like the first introduction to Rabbit's plot of being like, you know, trusting himself and not just trusting the written word.
It's the same thing as the owl song where it's like he's kind of like manifesting things around them, like,
yeah,
that are on the map, but it's not quite as extreme as the owl song.
And at the end of it, he kind of throws up the trump, or not the trump, oh boy. He throws up the map triumphantly, and it tears in half, which is no good. So Taker chases after it, which leads him to a old tree spanning a very large chasm, which he continues to bounce on repeatedly.
Yep.
Which is not great for the very old tree.
It's like me. I keep pushing the buttons of things I shouldn't push.
Pushing the limits. And he can't. Does he catch it in the end?
I think he does, because Rabbit later has both halves of the map.
So he catches it, but at the cost of the tree breaking. Yes. And he kind of falls down into the chasm a bit, and then there's a big thing, and people are like, Tigger, just bounce up. But he's too scared to, because he's been having tail performance issues.
Yep, I didn't think they'd bring this up in a kid's film.
This Winnie the Pooh movie is just surprising us, left, right, and center.
Yeah, seriously. And, I don't know, they all kind of fall in, trying to rescue Tigger, because he can't bounce himself out.
And there's like a human chain situation that fails. They fall. They fall to the bottom of it, don't they?
Yeah, and they die a grisly death, and the film ends.
Uh-huh, that's it. Pooh's Grand Adventure failed. They are not reunited with Christopher Robin. And, yep.
I can see why it scared you as a kid.
Yeah, it's pretty scarring. This is a Winnie the Pooh movie, so they survive the fall. And this is also when I noted this movie's big thesis is to trust yourself, right?
Yes.
It goes back to that central quote.
Well, and like, you know, if you look at it at different angles, like sometimes you can't trust yourself, sometimes you can type of thing. I think for the message of this movie where it's supposed to be like Pooh and them understanding that Christopher Robin will always be there and they have to do things themselves, I think it's a good message.
It is. I think, yeah, that's kind of why it's not like a one-star. Well, there's lots of reasons why it's not a one-star movie, but it does, as much as it may be overly simplistic for us, I think it is good for children. Like, it's addressing a lot of kind of bigger issues that maybe some other Disney sequels don't try to or fail at.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there's a good gag here. They're all holding on. Eeyore is holding onto a branch with his tongue. They're holding on by Eeyore's tail. Which, as we all know, a common thread with Eeyore is that his tail is nailed on to him.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh no, his tail's nailed on to him. It's going to break.
Yeah.
It's going to come off. Because that's a nail, and it's not going to hold the weight of Pooh, Piglet, Rabbit, and Tigger.
Yeah.
And it is about to tear, and he's trying to tell him, but he's holding on the branch, so he lets go of the branch to talk, and then they plummet down.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gag, because they keep cutting to the tail to make you think, like, oh, it's going to break.
It's going to be the tail, but no, it's the mouth.
It's just Eeyore doing a classic, you know, classic cartoon gag of letting go. They stay stationary in the air for a few seconds for him to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fall. They get to the ravine. There's kind of like a mud thing. I don't know. They land in mud. They're sad.
They
it's really misty. Was that? Is that your dog?
No.
I thought you said, hey, buddy.
No, I said they get muddy. Oh, my gosh. You just freaked me out. You scared me so bad because I was like, is there a noise I didn't just hear in my house? And I, like, turned around expecting, like, a monster to be behind me.
The guy Ghostface from Scream or something.
Oh, my God. No, don't actually, say it.
Well, of course. That's who it is.
Yeah.
they kind of, like, you know, they survive the fall. It's misty. So they say, okay, we're going to call it a night. We'll camp out. They kind of go into this cave. They tuck in for the night.
My notes get kind of hazy here because if I'm being honest, I was getting a little bored.
You watched this kind of late at night too, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it late at night, and for listeners, I had a little bit of
a honey pot.
A little honey pot. And it was starting to lose me, and I was just kind of staring at my wall a little bit.
The movie slows down here. They're all kind of sleeping. I don't know. They're talking. We get another song of Rabbit's out looking for Pooh because he's not in the cave, and he finds him kind of by this tree that looks a lot like the tree from the beginning of the movie where he spent his last day with Christopher Robin. And Pooh, basically, Rabbit sneaks up on Pooh singing this very depressing song called Wherever You Are, basically missing Christopher Robin and being like, you know, when I look up at the stars, I think about how we can be together wherever you are, even though I don't know where you are.
There's a shot here of Pooh in the tree with the stars behind them, and I feel like I've seen, I feel like this is maybe the most, like, lasting image from this, because I swear I've seen this, like, in someone's Twitter bio or something. Like, that image of Pooh in the tree with the stars behind them, I've seen before.
Okay, yeah, it's a prettier part of the movie. It's a nice sequence. It kind of does, again, it's very, like, musical-like in that it's, he's kind of, like, flying through the clouds and stuff. It's nicer than kind of, like, the garishness of the owl song. And yeah, it's a sweet little song. Again, it's, like, I could very much, like, see, like, someone showing this to a kid and, like, trying to explain death, basically. That thought came into my head again. And Rabbit kind of, and then Rabbit gives Pooh the map to sleep with as, like, a blanket, which is nice, you know, with Rabbit kind of being like, all right, a bit of a nice guy this time. And then they wake up the next morning and quickly realize that they slept inside of Skull Rock.
Arrived
at the destination.
Despite probably not following the map correctly, they and maybe the map not even being correct, because an insane owl made it. Despite very all of possible. This, they made it.
They have, they're afraid, but they sneak in anyways, and a whole lot of shenanigans happens.
Yes, they kind of split up. So they can cover more ground, and they're, like, all yelling to each other, like, I don't know about this, guys, you know, like, they're freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, they get split up. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There's a part, and they're kind of, like, tripping and slipping all over the place. There's a part where Eeyore falls, or he gets his head stuck in a log, and he looks kind of like a Triceratops, but they think he's the Skullosaurus.
Yes.
Yeah. What else? There's a lot of, like, kind of slapsticky stuff here.
Yeah, and I think that kind of triggers then Pooh getting stuck in the crystals, right?
Yeah, in a classic Pooh move, he gets stuck in a small, tight place.
Yes.
In a callback to the first movie. But this time, this cave is actually full of different crystals, so he gets stuck up there. And they all, the other four, yeah, four, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The other four have to figure out how to get him out. So Rabbit, using his brains, thinking for himself, realizes that Tigger can bounce and throw kind of Piglet up so he can get a rope and pull Pooh out.
Yes, and so it's like both of them conquering their fear at once. Tigger has to kind of, I don't really know, like, I, because if this is like a straight up performance issue, I don't know if it's like a mental thing, but whatever.
They both deny it at first. I, you know, Piglet's like, oh no, it's so high up, and Tigger's like, I'm not so good at bouncing lately, I don't know if I could do it.
So it's like, then it's both of them working together to conquer the bouncing issue and conquer the fear of heights. They bounce up, Tigger does not make it, but he swims through the air.
You know, in kind of like a, again, like kind of like a comedic way.
Yeah, and so he gets up there.
Do you know why, Sam?
What?
Do you know why he was able to get up there by swimming through the air?
No, why?
Because he's stronger than he seems.
Oh, dang. Wow. That's crazy.
I'm sorry, that wasn't enough of a payoff, I feel like.
I thought you were going to, like, reference, like, I got thrown off really bad. I was like, is she going to reference something that I hate? Is she about to, like, bring up, like, Oasis versus Blur or something?
Oh, no,
like,
no, we can't bring that up now.
I was like, that just really threw me. I was like, what is this gonna be?
I'm sorry, okay.
Shouldn't have thrown me that bad. That's on me.
Okay. They save Pooh. And then what happened? Okay, again, like, it gets my notes also get a bit fuzzy here, because it's kind of like the same stuff happening over and over again. They basically get Pooh out. This is when Pooh kind of, there's like a funhouse thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's like a funhouse effect with Pooh and the crystals, where he's sitting behind the crystals and they're looking for him. But he appears to be a giant monster, who again, they assume to be the Skullosaurus, even though it's yellow and red.
Yeah. And so they get scared off, and he's kind of stuck in this other part.
Yeah, and then he falls down some more, and he kind of ends up at, like, the bottom of this cave. Like, down the bottom of a very steep precipice. I think this is the bit that upset me most as a child.
Yeah, and Pooh has to come to terms with the fact...
Yeah, sorry, you go.
He has to come to terms with the fact that he's an immortal being, and he's trapped down here for the rest of his life.
Uh-huh. But he has the small consolation that he finally realizes that everything is right, which is the name of the song he sings, because he can, wherever Christopher Robin is, he will be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, classic idea, like, I'm always in your heart, you know, even if I'm not with you specifically, I'll always be in your heart and with you.
And the death thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, accepting your situation, etc. This is the part that upset me most as a child, because it's, you know, Pooh's at the bottom of this cavern that he cannot climb out of, and
this is pretty upsetting to think about, especially as a child.
I was like, there's no way he's getting out of this one.
He sings a song here, right? Like, about what he learned. After this song, it cuts up to our other four characters, like, all freaking out.
They think the Skullosaurus has eaten Pooh.
Yes. And then this is a pretty quick wrap up, right? Because
we cut back to Pooh, and he hears Christopher Robin's voice. Right? Is this what happens?
Yeah. And then I think it cuts back up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they see a shadow.
Which. This part.
It looks pretty terrifying. I don't blame them.
It's terrifying. Shadow. I just don't understand how that becomes Christopher Robin's shadow.
No. You know? It makes no sense, because then Christopher Robin... Like, it would make more sense if he was, like, holding a bunch of stuff that you could...
Like, behind some rocks.
Yeah. Like, if he was like, oh, I brought you guys some things.
But he comes in, he's basically like, where have you guys been? I've been looking all over for you. And they're like, Christopher Robin's back! They're very excited.
Our cult leader is back. And so they get all excited. And this made me think in my head, I was like, they had to go through all of this just for him to be like, oh, what's up, guys? Like,
well, at the end, there's a little reveal about their journey as well, right?
Yeah.
And I think, is this when he explains the note, or does he do that after Pooh?
They pull Pooh up.
So... somehow Christopher Robin has a giant honey pot.
Yeah, he's just this man's made of honey. That's how he keeps Pooh in the cult.
And he lowers the giant honey pot down, and Pooh is like, oh yeah, like, oh, I was just getting hungry. There's a gag here. Pooh's stomach rumbles, and the four of them, not including Robin, freak out because they think it's the Skullosaurus. But Christopher Robin, ever the wise, realizes that there's only one sound that makes that noise.
Right.
The tummy of a very hungry Pooh Bear.
Even though we've been hearing that sound the entire movie and none of them realized it was coming from Pooh, that's what it was the whole time.
Yeah, the cave, it gets echoey. But yeah, so that's when they lower the honeypot down and lure Pooh back up.
And once they get up there... Christopher Robin finally can explain the note.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out, because of the honey, it was kind of stuck together, and Owl missed some key words. Some key phrases to understanding the note, which basically said, I'm going to school, we'll be back soon, don't send help, bye. Right?
Yeah, pretty much. It was, it just was like, hey guys, like, I just won't be around as much, don't worry. And they did not understand that at all.
and they do. And then they have a little reprise, and they walk back to the 100-acre wood
I'll say this real quick about Pooh. When Pooh is just doing, like, little tasks, little, like, kind of nothings that still teach you, like, life lessons... Like, you can kind of excuse it more that he's like, oh, he's a silly old bear. When they go on a perilous journey of death and destruction, and it's all because Pooh just could not wait to get to that honey, and he just couldn't stop for a second to read a note. It makes you in your head like a little more like, Pooh, what the hell, man? Like, you risked all your friends' lives for nothing.
Yep. And I think that's one of the bigger things with this movie. They were like, all right, we should make a Winnie the Pooh movie, which is a good starting point. But instead of adapt any of the other Milne stories, we should make it an action adventure movie.
Yeah.
Which is what Pooh has never been, and I don't think is necessarily what I want Pooh to be, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's what we want Pooh to be.
And yeah, so I guess we should just wrap up the movie real quick. They walk back. It turns out it was all very lovely the entire time. Their eyes were just their imaginations were misleading them.
Yeah.
The very big ravine was actually just like a small river, you know, like it was all fine.
They were just very freaked out because they didn't have Christopher Robin anymore. So it made the world a lot scarier.
Yeah, and they had to learn how to be their own people without Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
And trust themselves, which is a good moral. I won't deny that. But it's just like the setting they put it in. This is also interesting because I found one person who was kind of writing up on the DVD release on this. And they noted that this is the last time, I guess it's the first time as well, that like, maybe not the first, I don't know. You can watch the original Winnie the Poohs as an adult, right? And have... Mm. It's like kind of watching Totoro, right? You're like, this is like child stuff, but it's not so.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It's not so childlike that it's comes off as offensive, if that makes sense, right? You know,
right?
Okay. I would watch Winnie the Pooh, but I'm not going to sit and watch Playhouse Disney.
Right. It's something where it's like this still has some level of value, you know, to you, and even as an adult.
Like, you can watch it and be like, oh, I relate far more to Eeyore now, right? Or when Pooh sings, like, I am short and fat and proud of that, you're like, uh-huh. It's like, cute, you know? And this movie kind of, like, rackets up the action and adventure. And then, as this DVD reviewer pointed out, that everything else that they've made with Pooh is very simplistic. Like, it plays very much preschoolers. Like, after this, Disney's like, Pooh is our, like, preschool,
Yes, for sure.
And I haven't watched like the Tigger movie or the Piglet or any of the others in years, but it apparently just plays very, 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 very young. So I guess this is interesting in the fact that it kind of plays a bit older in a way. You know?
No, it does. I just don't think it nails it enough to appeal to people who are older.
It doesn't, and it is. I guess antithetical to the way Winnie the Pooh is.
It's too scary, like you said, for someone too young, and then it's like someone older, they're just like, I don't know, this is like a worse version of that other one I've seen.
Mm-hmm. So I guess reactions to this, from what I can tell, this is like beloved amongst people. Like, I think the nostalgia factor is pretty big.
Yeah, I was looking at Letterboxd, which,
score is crazy, yeah. Honestly,
people obviously on Letterboxd, it's a very skewed place, you know, like right.
It's not the be all end all, you know, take on a movie, but
I mean, there's people giving this movie like 5 out of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like the, I think its average is like 3.1.
3.4.
0.4?
Yeah.
So this movie is very beloved from what I can tell. Critics did not like it. Unsurprisingly. Although Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up.
Hey, you know, they were kings. I
do think they could like look at a thing and be like, all right, is this the same level as the 1970s Winnie the Pooh? Maybe not, but it's fine for children. So 2 thumbs up,
I think they kind of operated on what some critics operate nowadays with Marvel movies. Like, there's some critics who see them just not in the same caliber. There's some that do, and they will adjust knowing whatever, you know, like they see things, they categorize things in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is 2 stars.
Okay. This movie also, I mean, besides like the nostalgia factor that obviously many people have for it, it kind of has an interesting legacy too, because they used elements of it for the Winnie the Pooh section in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I read that. That's interesting. Yeah. The Skull Rock thing. Have you played that?
No.
I figured because you love Disney that you might play it.
Yeah, but I wasn't like a video game. I wasn't a gamer kid.
Yeah, I wasn't super like I've never played them. I was kind of into games, but I kind of never was like hardcore about it to the point where I think I'd like Kingdom Hearts. It seems like a lot to me. Like it just seems hard.
Yeah, people really like it. I just never had like a
Yeah, no.
video game console, and I mean, if I did, maybe I probably would have, because I did like find the art later on in life, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool, but I missed the boat.
Didn't Kingdom Hearts 3 like come out recently? You could play that.
No, I'm fine. I missed the boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they use that. They use Skull Rock in Kingdom Hearts.
I mean, it's a good set piece for like a game, I think.
Yeah, because it's the only Winnie the Pooh with plot,
Yeah.
as opposed to just like, I don't know, Hundred Acre Wood and like Piglet's House.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be honestly,
Beans.
I'd give them like a plus if they just had a section in a game where it's like you just do nothing, you just chill with Pooh.
To win the game, you have to chill.
It just sounds kind of like Animal Crossing. You're just chilling.
That's true. That's very true. Let's see. Okay, some other like notes from things I saw. People were reviewing it. One person replied, or one person's like reply to this movie was, if your goal in making the movie was to create a generation of Eeyores, you succeeded. Which is a bit harsh, but maybe
Yeah.
not too far, because look where we are now, and apparently everybody loves this movie.
Yeah.
CNN at the time compared it to something you'd get from a Saturday morning cartoon,
That's fair.
which is feels relevant for the studio making this and stuff, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
I don't know, other things. Sharon Morrill, as discussed last week, the kind of head of the DTV output for most of its run, quoted the film as saying, "Winnie the Pooh has never had a long-form story before. Even if it was feature-length, it was comprised of three short stories. But this is the first Winnie the Pooh has ever been told in a longer than 65-minute format." Which he's not wrong.
Yeah, those are facts that she has
Those are facts.
stated.
But I just don't think it works well with Pooh.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think Pooh does. He has to be like kind of short stories, just little moral things to him of like just some friends, being silly, getting stuck in honey pots. Like it's
I agree.
just it's like. I don't want to say it was too ambitious because I don't know how ambitious they were with it, but it just feels like they were really trying to like I maybe it was just because like Aladdin did well, so they're like we have to make it a little more adventure-y
Yeah, I do
for
wonder like where like the idea, all right, you know, we have these properties, let's do something new with them, kind of came into it.
a
Oh, that's that's Winnie the Pooh. Pooh's Grand
Pooh's
Adventure.
Grand Adventure. Oh,
Any more?
also
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Since we're oh wait, do you have any wrap-ups on Pooh? Because this is not related to Pooh.
I was gonna say, if you have any Pooh thoughts, speak them now, since this is our last, our first and last brush with the Mighty Bear or the
Do
Little
not
Bear.
have any more Pooh thoughts. If you do,
Exhausted all my, well, I don't know. I was maybe gonna bring up Pooh sticks, but I don't think I will.
Pooh sticks.
Maybe now I will.
Yeah, you gotta say Pooh sticks. I'm into it. I'm jumping in 100%. What is this?
So Pooh sticks is a game. And
What
I
is
think they
this?
play it in the first movie where it's kind of like Pooh, and I think it's either Piglet or Roo kind of stand on a bridge and drop sticks into running water beneath them,
Okay.
and you run to the other side of the bridge and you see whoever stick comes out first. You know, so like a
Okay.
little race with sticks. It's basically dropping wood into running water and see what happens.
That's cute.
I did not know this was a thing until I was taking a walk with my friend this past summer, and we were on a bridge, and she said, "You want to play Pooh Sticks?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" She's like,
What did
"You
you call
know,
me?
from Winnie the Pooh." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess I kind of remember that." But again, desert kids, so what are you talking about? Running water?
Yeah, what?
As I
You
was
don't like
reading up on
water.
it, there are like Pooh Stick leagues and like clubs,
Oh
like
my
play Pooh
gosh.
Sticks professionally.
So is it like a thing where you can enter with any type of stick you want, or is there like certain sticks that are like allowed in the league?
I do not know. Because I feel like a certain element to the game is picking a good stick, you know?
That's what I'd think, too. But I didn't know if it was like NASCAR, like you got to use stock car or something.
No, I do not know the intricacies of professional poo sticks.
Well, maybe you should have done some... No, I'm just kidding.
Hey. All right, but that's it. That's my final poo thought.
All right, I had one thought. Since we're a few episodes in, people are kind of getting an idea of the pod. I thought we should introduce this idea into the pod. Because we've talked about it ourselves. Of us trying to guess which one will be our favorite.
Ooh, yes, okay.
I'm not saying this like this is my guess. I'm just saying we should plant the seed for when it comes along. Because, we both, like, you're big into Disney, so I kind of have an idea which one you like. And you said you have an idea which one you think I'll like.
I think I said I can't wait to find out which one you will like. We're trying to guess. But yes, let's plant the seed in this episode.
Yes, let's plant the seed, because I think I know which one's your favorite, but we'll see. By the end of it, we can bring this up again. Well, if we make it to the end of
it. Who knows what will happen at the end of this this podcast.
Yeah, I could probably do a power... We could probably do a power ranking if we get there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, of course, we will.
But yeah.
Yes, I agree. Good seed planting.
You know me, I'm a gardener. I'm out here planting the seeds.
A little bit of a rabbit, aren't you?
I'm a little bit of a rabbit, you know, going off these books.
Growing shit.
So this has been Vaulting the Walt.
Wait, we got to tease next week.
Oh, shoot. Cut that.
Next week. We are discussing Beauty and the Beast, Belle's Magical World. This is the second Beauty and the Beast sequel. However, the first one, Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, we are not covering as of now, at least.
It's a similar idea as the Humpalump, how do you say it? Huffalump Halloween special, where it's like, if we make it to Christmas... Mm-hmm. We might do that one.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's I like that one. That's a pretty good one. I'm gonna.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched it for Christmas this year because I had Disney Plus. However, Belle's Magical World, not the same quality.
Ooh.
We kind of returned to the Renaissance and the idea of let's make TV shows out of the Renaissance.
Oh, okay.
That will be my tease.
All right. Well. We'll see what happens next week with that one. So this has been Vaulting the Walt. Follow us on Twitter at Vaulting the Walt. We tweet good stuff. Please follow us.
Follow us, interact with us. I want to do many polls, but if you don't have any followers, you know, hard to do a poll.
Yeah, so seriously, follow us, share, tell your Disney friends.
We are not Disney friends who are just interested in this very strange period of Disney history. Somehow.
Yeah, like me. Yeah, this has been Pooh. He's a silly old bear. What does he say?
Oh, bother. Thanks for doing nothing with us on this podcast.